And so let's go to Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 14. We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Proverbs 4, 14. We'll be reading verses 14 through 23. And it reads, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Underline heart. "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart," underline heart again, "with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Father, we thank you for your word. And just as we said earlier, Father, we pray for revelation, Lord, by your spirit of your word. Lord, speak to us, Lord, I pray. Lord, and that not just that you just speak to us that it goes through one ear and out the other, but Lord, that what you speak to us today, Lord, that we would treasure in our heart, Lord, we would keep in our heart, Lord, and that we would apply it to our lives. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Just as God doesn't waste time, he doesn't waste his words. And here, verse 22, it says, "For they are life to those who find them." For they, what is they? God's word, God's instructions. God's words are truth. There's no false in them. If you want to know about God, you'll find out that there is nothing but truth in God. He doesn't lie. He's not a sneak. He's not a conniving person. God is all being, and God is true. God's instructions are true. His law is true. His scripture, all of it. Sometimes people just like some of it. There was a time in my life where I liked some of it, but we need to understand that all scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says all scripture, not some, but all, is truth, is valuable, is profitable. If there's anything that's valuable that you possess, that you own, you take care of it, hopefully. If there's anything that's of value, if there's anything that's profitable, you would treasure it. John chapter 1, it begins by stating that Jesus is the living word. The word was with God. The word was God. That is Jesus. Jesus is the God's word that's come to life. Jesus is the living word. You see, his words are life. They're truth. Jesus even said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Why did he say that? Because he's the living word, because God's word is life. Now it says in verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them." I just want to reiterate what our guest speaker last week gave a word. It was a word of the Lord. Brother Mike said this, that the Lord gave this word for to him for the church. The amount of revelation that you get from God depends on your desire for more of God. Revelation of God doesn't fall flat, doesn't just lay or fall from the sky and lay at your laps. Just like God's word, you use your Bible as a pillow. I'm sorry, but God's word is not going to get into your head, into your brain, into your memory. You have to read it. And when you read it, and as the psalmist says, you read it and put it in your heart. And as the word of God also says that when you read God's word, the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance. Well, if it was never there to begin with, how is the Holy Spirit going to bring it back? The Holy Spirit will use a believer in Christ to speak it to you. But it says, to those who find them. So listen, if you're not looking for them, we all know that we used to do this when we were kids, you know. If we're not looking for them, if we're not looking for God's truth, God's treasure, we're not going to find it. It's just like if you lost your keys, if you don't look for them, if you don't send your kids to go look for them and tear up the whole house, you're not going to find them. They'll still be where they've always been, in the bottom of your purse or in the bottom of the couch. So to those who find them, many people are looking for other words, other instructions. But you know what? There's no other words that bring life like God's word. There's no other person that gives life like Jesus gives life. There is no other person that restores and makes all. Everyone say all. No, there's no other person. There's no other being that makes all things new other than God. God restores and makes all things new. So why do we tend to, it's almost like we are like a magnet. We drift towards what other people say, what other people are, other people's advice, when we need to go to God, because what God says and what his word says is true. It brings life. So there's no other words that brings life other than God. You and I must search for them. It doesn't help to hear them just once a week. I'm going to say that again. It doesn't help to just hear them or read them once a week. A daily process. Daily. For those of you that own businesses, you want customers coming into your business, what? Daily. Not weekly. For those of you that work in an office, in a cubicle, or on a factory, there's not, everything just doesn't get done on one day. It gets done every day. Why? So that the business can run productively and it can flourish, hopefully. Somehow, when we think about the spiritual things of God and drawing closer, like what John the Baptist said, more of him, less of me, somehow we just think that it's just supposed to happen one time. Some people believe that their salvation experience is the only time they get to step back foot in the church, unless someone dies or it's Christmas. I grew up in that mentality, in that religious mentality. It doesn't help to just hear God's word one time a week. It must be every day. I am challenging the church today, this month, as we are focusing on Proverbs 4:22. That God's words is life, and it brings health to all, to our whole body. I challenge you to read more of God's word. And if you're like, well, I just don't know where to start, let me just give you these if you're taking notes. A daily reading of one verse. Now, this was astounding because I have a friend who's a pastor, and a long time ago he shared this with me. Now, he does his Bible reading, but he said there was a time that I just read one verse a day, and I'm like, what? You're a pastor. Why are you reading one verse? He said, I would read one verse a day, but I would dissect that verse till no end, till I could find out what the word was saying, what was the Spirit saying to me, and I would apply it. I said, man, that's good Bible study right there. Just read one verse. Now, if you want to start at Jesus wept, go ahead. But dig deep. Why did Jesus weep? Spend time in his presence to say, Jesus, tell me, why did you weep when you looked at Jerusalem? What did you see? As you read a little bit longer, more in that passage, you'll find out why he wept. But an interesting thing, if you just read one verse, but search that verse, search for a truth and apply it to your life. If one verse is not enough, okay, one passage. Some of you probably like your Bibles because, it has the passages of Scripture. Some is shaded red, some is shaded, yellow. Kind of differentiates what's the topic. Well, go through one passage or one chapter. But again, search for truth. Don't just read it, No, search for the truth and then apply it to your life. If you're going to read a passage or a chapter, I challenge you, while you're searching for the truth and applying it to your life, share it with somebody. Share it with somebody by the end of the week or by the end of the day. But live it out. Another one is memorize one verse. Now, there are about 5 weeks in the month of July. And so maybe five verses, one verse a week. Memorize it. Ponder it. As you memorize it, don't just memorize it to just, have it in your head, but actually think about it, chew on it, meditate on it throughout the day. You're hiding God's word in your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 says, "The way of the wicked leads to darkness." I remember my days of wickedness. I remember how I did not. I mean, it's always funny when you go to some function and if one woman needs to go to the restroom, it's like there's like three other women that go with them, and as they talk and they go to the restroom. But when you If you can remember back far, for some of you, you remember the times of your old ways, your wicked ways. You didn't like to go do the wicked things by yourself. You always brought somebody with you. There was always a crime partner. There was always just a troublemaker that was always with you. Maybe you were the crime partner. But there was always something that you ended up doing. You never did it by yourself. The way of the just leads to light and life. But it says here in the beginning of verse 19, the way of the wicked leads to darkness. I always thought it was kind of cool because it never occurred to me when I was in sin. But, they, you know, nightclubs and bars, they're always dark. Why? Well, because wickedness always leads to darkness. The problem is that we sometimes pick up the wrong words or the wrong instructions, maybe like picking up the wrong roadmap. Some of you ever remember a road atlas? If you could put up slide one, please. I did not know this, that they still make them. It says 2018, and I found one that says a 2019. I'm thinking in the days of cell phones and GPS, I mean, they still make these. People still buy them. So that's why they make them. What if, and this happens, you pick up a roadmap and it's the wrong one. It leads to nothing but dead ends. Roads that lead to nowhere. Some of you probably experienced that a lot. Cities you were never supposed to go to. This is what the wicked leads to darkness. This is the idea I'm trying to, the picture I'm trying to paint in your mind is that wickedness leads to darkness. Wickedness will lead you to a city, to a place that God said, I never wanted you to be there. I never wanted you to go there. God's word, verses 14 through 23, tells us that there's no other path. There's either a wicked path or a righteous path. There's no third path. There's one that leads to darkness and death, and the other leads to light and life. It is God's word that leads to life and health. When Jesus told people that they were now made whole, he didn't say you're halfway healed. He says you're completely healed. You're completely made whole. I love that. God's desire is not to just give us a half new life. His desire is to give us a brand new whole life. Not just a life that is half healthy, but a whole healthy life. So my first point is that God's word is true. Give attention to it then. Give attention to God's word. Pay attention. Look for it. Look for it. You'll find truth. My second point is if you're going to look for it, then keep it. Sometimes we find something that's valuable. Do we really right away give it to salvate? No. How many of you give things that you don't want, you don't need, you don't like? You give it to Salvation Army or Goodwill. Or you throw it in the pile to, a yard sale. By the way, Hidden Treasure is going to have a yard sale sometime in the next future. So we're not taking any clothes. Okay, no clothes. We give stuff away that what? We don't want. Listen, unless the Lord tells you, if you buy a new pair of shoes, a new suit, a new dress, a new something, and the Lord says, give it to somebody, you're not going to give it to anybody. Why? Because you just bought it. Why? Because it looked good. I really wanted a new pair of shoes. If we value God's word, which is true, we are to keep it. But when you look at that word keep, it's interesting that we are not to just give attention to God's word, but we're to keep them. That word keep in the Hebrew is natsar, to guard, to protect, to obey, preserve, and maintain. We're supposed to keep God's word, which is true, in our hearts. That's verse 21. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's the same word. Keep your heart, guard, protect, obey, maintain with all diligence. For out of it, what is it? Your heart springs the issues of life. That word diligence, that it's not saying be lazy, be undecided. He's not saying be irresponsible with your heart with all diligence. Or you keep your heart with all irresponsibility? No. Diligent means to be steady, earnest, energetic effort. I want to throw this definition to that. It says, keep your heart with all faithfulness and constant. Be constant and faithful and by keeping your heart with all diligence, be faithful and constant, energetic effort, not to be undecided and flippant or irresponsible with the treasure you having in your heart. I mean, do any of you have a safe? Do you give your key to anybody? Anybody who has an alarm code to enter into your business or your house, do you put that code on Facebook so that everybody? No, you treasure it. You keep it to yourself. You don't want everybody else to walk into your house with your code. You keep, why? Because you treasure. You have something that you're treasuring, guarding. We are to place God's word in our hearts and to keep them there. It helps to memorize. So again, I'm challenging you to memorize a verse. Now, I thought about this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Is something going to happen with God's word? Is it going to escape? Is it like helium? It's just going to, you know, or like an inflatable bed. Anybody ever sleep on an inflatable bed? You inflate it, and then by morning, you're on the floor. somehow, air has leaked out. Listen, God's word doesn't leak out of our hearts. You know what happens? We're to maintain and keep his word in our heart, not because it's going to vanish away, but because we end up taking other people's words and other people's advice and experiences in our life, and we put them here. We treasure them. We remember them. And all of a sudden, we forget what God's word says. Or you only put God's word in your heart once a week. No wonder you forget what God says. Because you only do it once. You're not treasuring. You're not maintaining. There's not a constant effort and keeping and guarding and maintaining and obeying God's word in your heart. Why? You're putting other stuff in there. So it doesn't escape. But we replace it with other stuff, with other people's words. Therefore, we begin to speak or live contrary to God's word. Anybody ever mess up? Anybody ever fall flat on your face? Anybody ever go somewhere you're not supposed to go to? Anybody ever say something you wish you could lasso those words and bring them back? No, you spoke those words. No, you went there. Thankful to God for his mercy and his forgiveness that we can say, Father, forgive me. God, help me. Sometimes I wish God would just erase my lips so I wouldn't have a mouth, so I wouldn't say anything wrong. But we know that God doesn't do that. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 11. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. I was thinking verses 1 and 2, that's like the Old Testament's Beatitudes. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts, your laws, your instructions diligently. Diligently. Again, there's that word. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Guard, obey, protect. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to God's word, your word. With my whole heart, verse 10. With my whole heart, underline heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments, because we can wander. Your word I have hidden in my what? Heart, that I might not sin against you. Did you know God's word benefits us more spiritually than physically? Did you know that? If you know that, then we ought to be doing more spiritually than physically. There ought to be more diligence and effort in our spiritual lives than in our physical lives. Listen, I'm speaking to myself as well. I wish I had a mirror right here, but I'm speaking to myself as well. If we know that God's word impacts, affects, benefits, prospers us more spiritually than physically, then why are we not finding ourselves doing more good spiritually for us than physically? Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 15 that what we eat doesn't defile us. Because some Pharisees were saying that that's what defiles us. But Jesus was correcting them and says, it's not what we eat that defiles us, but that which comes from our heart. The reason why I was telling you to underline heart in Proverbs 4 and Psalm 119. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 20, Jesus called the multitude to himself, and he said to them, "Hear and understand. It's not what goes in the mouth that defiles, but what comes out of the mouth that this defiles a man." Disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that you offended the Pharisees?" I wonder if Jesus is like, "So?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." If you're blind, there's nothing but darkness. There's nothing but darkness. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus says, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." These are the reasons why we need Jesus. "But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." This is why we must become diligent, so diligent in keeping and guarding God's word in our hearts, because it benefits us spiritually. And spiritually is more important than physically. So it's okay if you're watching what you eat, but you need to watch what you put in your heart. Because these verses that we're just reading now, what we place in our heart will come out of our mouth. So if you are very determined on what you're going to eat or what you're going to listen to or where you're going to spend your money, all these physical things, I'm not saying that is wrong, but what I'm asking you is to examine, are you doing more spiritually diligence than you are physically? We must become diligent, especially in this month, as we are being challenged. I didn't ask you to put up slide 2, but good. There's always a before and after. Now, I didn't want to offend anybody, but, you know, I was going to ask somebody to send me a picture a long time ago and then send a picture now. We change. We change over the course of years. And our, again, changing physically. Some of you are looking at y'all like, "Yeah, you change." No, but what's more important is that we change spiritually. So if you've given your life to Christ in 2000, I'm sorry, but your before and after picture shouldn't be the same. It should change. Your demeanor should change. Your words should change. Your actions should change. What you listen to should change. What you watch should change. There should be a definite difference between your before and your after. So let's go to slide 3. I forgot slide 2, but go up to slide 3. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I thought this was a great word picture. I pray the Holy Spirit will just burn it in your memory. What comes out of your mouth is plugged into your heart. And what comes out of your mouth, the energy, the source, it comes from the heart. So that's why we need to place God's word in our heart and keep them, guard them, be diligent at guarding that. Our words are connected to our hearts. Jesus also, after rebuking the Pharisees for accusing him of working on the side of the devil, he tells them in Matthew 12, verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." I very much dislike when the things that come out of my mouth are not good things. I very much dislike when that happens. And that is why we need to come to the Lord in forgiveness. We need to come to the Lord and say, "God, I ask of you. I plead the blood of Jesus, but God, I ask of you, help me, guard my mouth. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you." So while we are paying attention to God's word, while we are keeping or guarding with all diligence his word in our heart, my last point is, this is all to make us healthy so that we can live healthy lives. It says that so that our whole body, to all our flesh, there is health. That Hebrew word is marpe. Marpe is a medicine or a curer. Figuratively, delivering. Healing. Jesus teaches us today that what comes out of our mouth comes from our hearts. And it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to place God's word in my heart, not just one day a week, not just once in a blue moon, but every day. And for us to keep them there, to guard them there, to obey, for out of it comes the issues of life. We can speak that which, and the issues of life, it could be life that's dead or life that's vibrant and alive. You, what comes out of your mouth can be life that is no longer living, it's dead. Or it could be life that is abundant, that can be energetic, loving, and it is alive. There's a heart that's beating. We're talking about hearts earlier in Sunday school. Something that's beating and that there is life there. We can speak that which is holy, righteous, and comes from God. How many of you want to speak that every day, every minute of the day? Yes. But how many of you find that comes out of your mouth is, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Lord, forgive us. Help us. Let that be our prayer, Lord. Help us that what comes out of our mouth doesn't defile us, is not evil, but Lord, is holy and righteous, and it comes from you. Health. Next slide, my last one. This is what God desires in our families, God's word, that our families, our lives would be healthy. Healthy Christianity impacts our lives and the lives of those in our family, to our children, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is why it is vital that we pay attention to God's word, because it is true. We keep and guard them, and that we understand that God's word, as the verse Proverbs 4:22, God's words are life to those who find them and health to all of our flesh. Because it is a tragedy when we focus more on the body but not the spirit. But it can change, and hopefully it'll change today. You know, physicians, I saw a video. Physicians say that if we improve our digestion by the right foods we eat, and especially when we eat them, this greatly impacts every area of our body. And I thought, that is so true spiritually. What are you digesting? What are you taking in? What are you taking in spiritually? I didn't know this, but of course, I never did like, you know, and not to say anything negative of anybody who drinks diet soda, but I didn't know that it came in 1981, 82. And since then, there have been researches on diet soda. Diet soda was, the idea was, it was supposed to be good. Now, I remember my sisters eating Diet Right. Tab was another one. I remember my sister drinking that, and that was no good. But people kept drinking it. You see, what we take in, right foods, even when we eat, this impacts every area of our body. When we sleep, our mental thinking, our reaction, our responses, that all, it impacts our whole body. So true with our spiritual body. So many people focus on their lives, which is a span between 20 to 80 years to live a healthy and vibrant life, but only to end up in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't make sense, does it? Now, we who know the truth, and the truth will set us free, we ought to be living this life where we are improving ourselves spiritually more than physically. Why? Because the temporary bodies that we have, thank God, we're only going to keep them for a certain time, and then they're gone. Hallelujah, right? No more wrinkles, no more gray, no more aches and pains. We are going to receive a celestial, eternal body. Thank you, God, for that plan. It is God's desire to give us an incorruptible body. What does that mean? In layman's terms, I will not need this body, and God's going to give me a better one, an eternal one, that I can where I can live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. You know, this week, I've already said a couple of things, but this week I was rebuked by the Lord for listening more to other people's words than his. And I felt like I needed to share this because somebody's probably been affected by other people's words more than God's. Listening is important. Men, if you don't believe me, ask your wives. Listening is very important. listening to other people's words, voices, and advice other than God will lead you to dead ends, dark places, cities and places you should never have been to, thoughts, ideas that you should never have done. And it was because I listened and followed for what was temporary instead of that which is eternal. I text a friend. I said, man, how can I preach a message where I don't even have a firm grip and I'm not on top of this? And I thought about what Paul said. I have not fully achieved. I have not been there. But man, you know what? I press toward the mark of the high call of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So Paul even said, look, I don't have it all together, but you know what? I'm pressing for a better spiritual digestion. I am focused on what God has for me spiritually than what I can find physically. See, many of us have tried once or twice. Those of you that want to be bold and shout it out, you could raise your hand. But you've tried once or twice to eat healthier, to live healthier. P90X, we still have those CDs. We did that P90 thing many years ago, and we haven't done it since. But how many of you remember Tybo? I'm going to read these off. Jane Fonda Workout. The Thigh Master by Suzanne Summers. Zumba, Nutrisystem, South Beach Diet, Atkins Diets, and all of that. Maybe they were short-lived, I don't know. But if they weren't, I'm not saying any of those were wrong or bad. But what I am saying is that examine yourself. Did you put a lot of effort into that? And are you still putting a lot of effort into that? And compare, examine yourself and compare. Are you putting that much effort and even more so spiritually on keeping God's word in your heart so that you wouldn't sin against him? Guarding it and applying it to your life so that out of the issues of the heart, your mouth would speak good things, holy things, God things. And where you're walking in places, God is waiting for you. It is an awesome thing to think that where I am going, because I'm being led by the Spirit, God has already organized and set up a scenario that he wants me to walk. And I'm not saying that I walk into those all the time. But it's just like someone inviting you to their house. And if you walk into their house and the house is a wreck, I mean, they have animals and, you know, they haven't cleaned up behind their animals and they got kids. You walk into someone's house because they've invited you. They've expected you. There's probably coffee ready. There's probably some cookies or donuts or whatever. The house is, you know, in order. Of course, our house, we just open our bedroom door and throw everything in there and close it. But, the house is pretty much presentable. I love the idea that because I'm being led by the Spirit of God, I walk to the store, I walk to the post office, I go somewhere, God can have something organized and set for me to walk into. Because he's expecting me to be there. That's where I need to be. Instead of being somewhere that God's like, ay, 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 menso, why are you over there? I didn't tell you to go over there. You're not supposed to be over there. But I picked up the wrong roadmap. Maybe you picked up the wrong roadmap. There's nothing wrong with those workout problems, but we need to live and lead a balanced, healthy lifestyle more spiritually than physically, because the benefits would be great for throughout our whole body. What about your eternity? It is a tragedy being diligent and taking care of your body, but not your soul and spirit. Again, the focus becomes more on the temporary. Today, you and I have the opportunity to hide God's word in our hearts, to begin today to live a spiritually healthy life. Whether you choose to pass on the salad later on or not, do not choose to pass on what God is speaking to you today. Do not choose to pass on God's word. During our altar call is going to be a little different, and I'm just going to ask Joe to play a song, but I ask that you examine your way of life. While you listen to this song, listen to the song, but examine your way of life. Ask yourself this question: what do I have in my heart, and what am I keeping in there that's not of God? What does my lifestyle say? Am I more diligent in the physical or spiritual? Am I more focused on what is temporary, or am I focused on eternal? Then come to God in humility and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. forgive me. Come to the Lord in humility and repent. Seek forgiveness from the God who gives forgiveness and gives new life. And remember, he doesn't give it halfway. He gives a brand new whole life. Commit to pay attention to God's word. Commit to these three things. Pay attention to God's words. Keep them, guard them with the intention of obeying. Keep them in your heart and live a spiritual, healthy life.